2 weeks ago, we celebrated the Holy Feast of Pentecost. Last week, we celebrated the Feast of All Saints, continuing the theme of Pentecost, because by the grace of the Holy Spirit, which came down upon the Holy Church on the day of Pentecost, mankind was able to be sanctified, to become gods by grace in a manner that was never seen before, in a manner that even made the angels stand in astonishment and wonder, beholding the mystery of the dispensation of the Son of Man coming upon the race of mankind, and beholding the great grace of the Holy Spirit descending and entering into the hearts of man. For this reason we hear, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And these are the holy men who were able to, and the holy women who were able to see God, to rejoice in His light, to experience Him in a way that other people cannot. For the grace of God is commensurate to our acceptance of this grace. It depends on how we are going to act with regards to these gifts, whether we are going to be thankful for them, whether we are going to be able to see them. It depends on our sincerity, whether we have a sincere heart. Depends on our volition, whether we are going to force ourselves, since we hear in scriptures that the kingdom of the heavens suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force, meaning to force one's will to accept the will of God, to force oneself to go against the mighty waves and billows of this life, this world, which are nothing else but a big deception. A deception because that which we think is good for us is actually bad for us. Those things, those worldly things, those earthly things, which will pass in a moment, we see as things which are profitable for us, whereas the things of God, we do not see their value, and if we do not see their value, we will not receive of this grace. This is what our Savior means with regards to the talents, for He gives us all talents, but to the one who hid his talent in the ground, He said, "Take away even that which he has, because he is an ungrateful person." And as we have heard many times, but there is great significance to these words. We often hear, "Count your blessings." And the fathers teach us that when we begin our prayers, we should always begin by thanking God. So when we start the services, we say, among the first things, "Glory to Thee, O God, glory to Thee." And then we start, "Heavenly King," praying the prayer of the Holy Spirit, where we ask the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us. Indifference is one of the worst things. And if we don't understand what we're saying when we ask the Holy Spirit, the God of all, the Creator of all, the greatest of all, to come and dwell in us, we're making a very bold request. But the fathers were quite able to grasp this. In fact, in today's gospel passage, which is a short and simple gospel passage, we hear our Lord calling his disciples. He invites them. And these were brave men because, it says in scriptures, they left all things and followed him, even using the word immediately. Imagine people in the world dropping everything for the sake of following someone who they never knew. There has to be some type of a divine energy, some type of a divine calling, some type of a holy thing taking place. a certain type of a pleroforia, an indication that this man who asked them to follow him was not just a simple everyday person. And when our Lord asked them, follow me, he spoke to their hearts. And since they were right with God, they responded in the right way to the call of God. As we've heard now, God calls us all. Through the gospel passages that we read, in the divine services, when the chanters chant, come, O ye faithful, a phrase that we hear very often, come, O ye faithful, let us all worship the one God in Trinity. This is a call, not of the one chanting, not of the one reading, but from the very Lord himself. A call for us to come out of the stupor of the deception of the world, for the world has deceived us in many ways. Although we know that we will not be able to take any of our possessions with us to the next life, neither our homes, nor our cars, nor our businesses, yet we still are concentrated more on those things than on the more important things, the heavenly kingdom. Our Lord tells us, do not prepare for yourselves things here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but prepare for yourselves a place in heaven. These disciples of our Lord were able to see it. Are we able to see it? Are we able to see that we, from here, have to start preparing our home, which is our eternal abode in the next life? But how can we see if we are unrepentant and if we are indifferent? The lack of repentance and the indifference comes because of our lack of sincerity and our own lack of repentance. All these things depend upon us. They depend on us. There has to be a synergy, a synergasia, cooperation with the grace of the Holy Spirit on the part of the person who is to be sanctified. The disciples, not all, for one was not really among them. The disciples were sanctified by the word of the Lord, who himself told them, ye are clean by my word. But not all. As the disciples of our Savior answered the call of our Lord, so have the people of God heard the call of God throughout the generations from the time of our Savior's resurrection to this very day, until even recently. Men and women who have dedicated themselves to God, understanding that the time is passing and that the only thing, the most important thing, is that we must prepare for ourselves an abode in paradise. And so these people left all things, hearing the invitation of God, and they ran away to monasteries, to caves, to the dens of the earth, because their focus was set on him who alone is the truth, understanding that the truth is in him, understanding that in the world there is the lie, the false world which deceives us is the same world which presents itself in alluring ways as truth, but herein is the lie, because in herein is the deception. If we do not work on our spiritual senses, we will never be able to comprehend these things. If we do not confess, if we do not repent, we will not be able to understand these things. Today we celebrate the synexis of all of the Holy Fathers of the Holy Mountain of Athos. On this Sunday, which is the second Sunday after Pentecost, most of the local churches throughout the world celebrate the saints of their local church. It's common also in many of our parishes to celebrate All Saints of Russia, because of our time with the Roll Corps. Many of our parishes celebrate both All Saints of Russia and All Saints of Mount Athos. In the city of Thessaloniki, they celebrate All the Saints of Thessaloniki. And so here, especially since we are monastics, we make special celebration and we honor those saints from the holy mountain of Athos who lived a God-pleasing life. This phrase is very significant, God-pleasing. We pray to the Lord to deem us worthy to live a life which is pleasing unto Him. And in many ways, the majority do not live a God-pleasing life, but a life which is not pleasing to God. We have to understand that we have more help than we can imagine. And now, celebrating all the saints of Mount Athos, we have before us a multitude of holy fathers who lived the ascetical life on this mountain, which was dedicated to the Holy Mother of God. Some of them went to the Holy Mountain as young men. Some of them, during the Ottoman Empire, during the Turkish Empire, became martyrs and left the Holy Mountain of Athos. Some of them were kings who left their thrones. Some of them were bishops who left their thrones. Some of them were deacons, some of them were priests. There was a great multitude of different fathers. Some of them lived in the desert, a life of asceticism. Some of them were hesychasts. They were able to say the Jesus prayer continuously, and they lived a life of quiet, of great quiet. I've been to the Holy Mountain a few times. God deemed me worthy to go a number of times. The first time I went was in 1994. And at that time, there was still one father who had some type of fame, but who was not known throughout the world because he lived in a desert. That's where I was deemed worthy to stay and to meet and to spend time with the Holy Elder Joachim, whom in our monastery we honor because not only do I personally, in my conscience, believe he's a saint, but many other people who met him believe that he is a saint, not just in the conscience, but because he answers prayers. And so he's one person that we have special honor to, because these men dedicated themselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the demons fear the Holy Elder Joachim. They fear the fathers who spend their lives together with those who spend their lives with men of God. Let us then honor these holy fathers who have passed on to us a great legacy of holiness, of asceticism, and let us look towards them and pray to them that they help us along the path, particularly for us as monastics who look at them as our mentors and as our fathers. Let us call upon them to help us to understand our calling, to not fall for the deceits of this world. And let us look to them as our examples. We have to look at the right place so that we can get the right results. And for those also in the world, the lay people, they should remember what St. John of the Ladder says: Christ is the light of the angels. The angels are the lights, are lights to monks, and monks are the light to the men in the world. Something which also the monastics should hear, because there should be a censure to us, since we are not exactly what we're supposed to be. May the Lord grant unto all of us repentance, understanding, the remembrance of death, and the grace of the All Holy Spirit, the prayers of all the Holy Fathers of the Holy Mountain of Athos. Amen.